You're listening to the Kinky Coach Podcast with Stephanie
and Fox.
Hey, Fox.
Yeah? You've been a bad, bad boy. Nice boy. This show contains explicit content
and is intended for mature audiences only.
This is what happens when an innocent, successful mental health professional
falls for a rugged, prior deployed bad boy. You get one hell of a ride. So it's quite the times we're living in, huh?
6:20.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was 4:20 earlier.
It was 4:20.
It was.
So one of the things I'm excited about talking about, I get excited a lot. Do you notice that?
I do.
Yeah, I do
too. It makes my job very easy.
Very excitable. Well, we've had a lot of people ask us about the difference between polyamory and swinging. And so I am not in the polyamorous lifestyle. We are in the swinging lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring on sort of an expert in the field. And I called up a friend of the show, Joe Duncan, who is... he's polyamorous, and he's a former swinger from Los Angeles, California. He is the top writer, just going to throw that out there, on many topics from Medium.com, including sexuality, relationships, feminism, science, culture, mental health. I get some good stuff from him. He can be reached at Twitter at Joe M. Duncan. So let's welcome our friend to the show.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are also well. Is nice and quiet in our neck of the woods.
It's very nice and quiet.
Mine as well, which is a bit of a surprise considering, you know, what the world looks like on the news right now.
We would agree.
Absolutely.
It feels like sometimes the world is coming to an end, like we're doing a podcast during the middle of the apocalypse or something.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, thank you for taking some time to talk to us about just all things... I mean, I guess polyamory, all things sex, all things relationship, all things.
Well.
Can I suggest non-monogamy?
Yeah, non-monogamy is probably non-monogamy. Better. So, Joe, I'm not sure if you're familiar with my past, but I have not just been in the swinging lifestyle. I was also in an open polyamorous relationship for a while, and then we decided to go ahead and close that up between the three of us. People now call that a thruple. But back then, there was really no distinction for it. As a matter of fact, we were very secretive and quiet about it back in the day. So now I have decided to, I guess currently my journey is in the swinging lifestyle. And now I am extremely open about everything. So life has been a lot more joyous and less chaotic.
So, Joe, I would like to start off with you telling us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, it seems we're kind of taking opposite trajectories here. For me, it started, I think, in about 2006. Like, before then, I'd had some, you know, fun times with multiple partners. But in 2006, like, it started to kind of dawn on me that, like, maybe there was something besides monogamy out there that could be done and enjoyed, with, of course, the consent and knowledge of everybody involved. And that's kind of like where the seed was planted. I was actually dating somebody at the time. We discussed it, and it didn't really go too far from there. And then in 2007, like a year later, then I decided, hey, let's give, you know, swinging a shot. So that's kind of where I started. I did that for a lot of years. And then from there, polyamory just seemed the logical next step. I did swinging for a long time with a lot of different people. And I had a great time. And I think that there's this weird, I want to say chasm, where a lot of people in kind of both circles, you know, either disown the other. And I've had a great time with both. And it's, you know, everybody's different. And everybody at different parts of their lives are going to want or need different things from their different partners. So, like, neither one's really better than the other. But I'm definitely happy with what I've got going on now, which is polyfidelius. You know, so it's polyamory where it's actually not an open relationship. You know, we're closed. And, there's three of us. It's actually quite wonderful. It's amazing. Every single day I wake up and think to myself, like, wow, how is this even possible? So, yeah, we get along so well. I just, you know, I never in a million years thought it would be possible. And so I'm glad it really worked out, you know, telling my story all the way from back when I was monogamous. Like, you know, I had no clue. But yeah, it's been a good fun ride.
Talk to me a little bit about the trajectory of your relationship. Like, how did it get to where it is today?
Well, let's start with, what is your relationship? What is the dynamic? You said there's three of you.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? And I guess, how did it formulate from swinging to polyamory?
It kind of didn't. You know, I was kind of open and in open relationships with, like I said, a lot of different people. And I got into a new relationship that was kind of like in the dating phase when we were testing the waters. And it kind of just worked. It just worked out really well. And everybody got along, the three of us. And it was definitely open and consensual all the way. It was like, hey, let's maybe take this thing to the next step. And, you know, is it cool with everybody here who's involved if we have an emotional connection involved in this? And then kind of one thing led to another, you know, now we cohabitate. So it's just, you know, beyond my wildest dreams, like I said. Yeah, we kind of just fell into it, to be honest. It's not something like I set out to do, or any of us really set out to do. It just kind of happened.
There is quite a large distinction between polyamory and swinging, and even open relationships in general. But there are also a lot of crossovers. So we get a lot of questions of, well, what's the difference? And isn't it all of just about sex anyway? So isn't it just the same? So I would love to get your take on what does polyamory mean to you?
I guess what I've always tried to ask myself is, where is this going? Like, what's the trajectory here? And to me, it's, you know, is it like, am I trying to seriously date this person? And do I want to have them be a close emotional bond of mine? Somebody who I build a future with? Or is this, you know, just a casual sex partner? And that's okay too. And I don't think people should shy away from either one. And I've heard, you know, people shy away from both. I myself have shied away from both, you know, before I kind of got involved in all this. But yeah, you know, to me, polyamory is just much more about building long-term relationships, or, you know, relationships with deep connections that kind of resemble a more traditional relationship, minus the, you know, more than two people part. Where swinging is more, you know, hey, out for a good time, out for some sex. And I think that a lot of people, when it comes to this distinction, they kind of think that, like, swinging must be devoid of all connection and romance. And I just don't think that's true. I mean, in my years of experience, that was never actually true. It was mostly about sex, of course. But, you know, you're going to form connections with people who you're intimate with. And I think that's just kind of human nature. So, like you said, you know, there's a lot of crossover between those two worlds, because it's really ambiguous, you know, when it comes to things like emotional connection. But I've always asked myself, you know, what's my primary motivation here? And is it to, you know, to kind of forge something a little bit more solid, or am I just having fun? And I think that it's important that we ask ourselves that, because we want to be honest with our partner about our intentions, because people can easily get the wrong idea about where you're going and what you're doing and what you want. And I think that, you know, we should be as above board as possible and get consent for everything that we want to do and everything that we have in mind.
Yeah, that's a good point put across. Is, you know, communication is a huge thing, whether you're in an open relationship or a swinging relationship or, you know, a polyamorous relationship. I know that for me, I share a lot of the same beliefs, I guess, as you do on polyamory, where when I was in that type of relationship, it was, well, let me back up. So in swinging, I enjoy forming bonds with people. I enjoy the friendships, right, outside the sexual part of swinging. But I also very readily admit that swinging to me is, it's about sex. It's purely sexual. It's the fact that we both admit to ourselves that I may love and care about you and want to be in a relationship with you, but you're not the only individual that I want to have sex with or be sexual with or flirt with or what have you, whatever that looks like for you. As to where when I was poly, it was our relationship, regardless of the number, and it was ours. And we acted as a family, so to speak. And there was, it was very loving, very enduring, very, very personal. Where swinging, it still is personal, but it's more personal on a physical aspect than it is an emotional aspect. And where I still formulate good friendship and bonds with individuals in the swinging lifestyle, I definitely wouldn't bring it to the level of love or endearing. And I know if I get to that part, I usually step away from that relationship because now it's crossed over. And I have to, for myself, not that Stephanie and I have had to endure this together yet, but if we ever do, I'm going to have to take a step back and say, hey, I'm beginning to have feelings that are crossing over that line, and now we need to talk about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that kind of communication is, like, vital for either type of non-monogamy. And, I, you know, again, I feel like I should just point out here that, you know, to each their own, you know, like I said, I've been on both sides of that spectrum. And I think you aptly described, you know, that difference there where it's like, okay, this is the boundary that we've established and this is the amount of emotional connection that we're comfortable with, which is, you know, make it primarily about sexual interactions and, you know, erotic, enjoyable times. So yeah, I think that when people come into the idea of non-monogamy, I think they're going to have an idea of what works for them and what they feel secure with and what makes them feel insecure. And, you know, it seems like you guys have a very good, healthy balance and that idea of open communication that will, you know, that make things go smoothly. I think it's when people, I've seen it happen before where people get like, you know, an emotional connection and they're afraid to admit it to themselves and they're afraid to admit it to other people or their partner. And things go awry. I mean, that's when things go wrong. Yeah, it seems like you guys definitely have a handle on the safest and kind of best, most mature way to go about this.
So, Joe, I know you said that you kind of fell into this lifestyle. It just kind of happened. First question, this is a two-parter. First part of it is, how long have you been in this current relationship?
A couple of years.
Okay.
A couple
of years, so. And now that you've been in it a couple of years and you've got a good grasp for it, for those of our listeners who are trying to possibly think about entering into a polyamorous relationship with somebody, or just if they have that on their mind, what suggestions would you give them to start off with?
Be honest about your intentions. Be honest about your limitations as well. And that's the hard part. I think that, you know, when I first decided that maybe non-monogamy might be an alternative that I would appreciate and I stepped into the world of swinging, it actually started because I was like racking my brain and I'm just like, man, it's like I keep dating people and, you know, the sex is great for a while and then it kind of just loses its luster. And there has to be a better way. And I figured that it would be better to be honest about those feelings that I think we all go through. And I felt like if I was just honest with my partner, that you know, we could have that discussion together. So, you know, if you're thinking this might be for you, be realistic with your limitations. You know, that was me being realistic with the limitation that I think we tend to lie to ourselves and pretend we're going to meet that right person who we're just going to be, you know, insanely attracted to forever by themselves. And I just don't think humans are built that way, to be honest with you. And I think that when we shatter that illusion and we're honest about our limitations, that we can't be 100% attracted to one person for the rest of our lives. Like, this isn't medieval Christianity. You know, this is the ancient times. I think that we find a new freedom. And then being honest about your intentions. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, well, I couldn't do poly because I'm a romantic, you know, and they think that polyamory is, you know, exclusive and to kind of like more sex-based. And they think that, you know, it excludes any form of romance. And that's kind of the whole point of polyamory, is to be able to enjoy more romance and more deep connection. So I wouldn't exclude yourself on that. But, you know, some people are looking to just have sex and they don't want an emotional connection coming in and disrupting their existing relationship. And that's okay. But everybody's got to be above board, you know, and say, hey, this is what I expect. And, you know, lastly, I think it's important that people start having the conversation up front rather than, I think a lot of people in the past have like dated and then waited a while to bring that up.
But I think I'm starting to see a lot more people, especially, you know, the younger generation is great with this. They're just like, hey, this is, you know, what I am. This is who I am. This is how I love. I love in this way. And that's, I'm looking for other people who love like I love.
Hey, Kinky Nation. Do you need help with navigating the swinging lifestyle? Fox and I offer personalized coaching services designed specifically for your relationship needs.
Are you the person that all your friends turn to when they have questions about sex? You should check out the Kinky Coach Sex Coach Certification Course and get paid for sex coaching instead of doing it for free. Just go to kinkycoach.com.
Lastly, if you feel that you are in need of therapeutic services for your relationship or individually, please visit Beautiful Beginnings with an S, LLC.org for more information on the counseling services I offer. Okay, Kinky Nation, let's get back to the show. So you're talking about the younger generation and how they love, and we've had this conversation previously, Fox and I, that the younger generation is just so open. They don't have the heterosexual normalities programmed into them that I think our generation did.
It's a good way of looking
at it. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Fox, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that that's a good way to look at it. It actually almost used to frustrate me in the beginning because they, what is it, like 200 and something different genders they claim, or I don't know.
The gender unicorn, yes. There's a lot of genders.
different sexualities. But as time went on, I began to look at it as a benefit because they, without knowing it, they are breaking the walls down and they are accepting everyone as a whole, and a lot of judgment is going out the window, and it's allowing people to do what they want to do, you know, without fear of attack or judgment or losing loved ones or friends or having society as a whole look at them like they're odd or weird or strange or they're some, you know, sexual felon. So I just think it's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, looking at my younger peers, I'm frankly amazed. I'm amazed at how well they've handled a lot of different things, but especially this. You know, there's basically, it is a very rebellious statement. You're not going to define my love for me. And I think that that is, you know, it's almost revolutionary. And yeah, it's that's kind of how I approach the same situation. I think each, you know, person or group of people, they need to carve their own path. And they need to love the way that works for them. And I think that having that kind of standardized societal mold that everybody feels pressure that they have to fit into is kind of honestly dangerous. And I think it's really assumptive. It makes us assume that, you know, that there's only one way to do things. And that's just not true. It's just not. People all over the world do very, very different things. But yeah, it's definitely because it took me some time to unlearn a lot of the baggage that I had. That it just, in a sense, I'm kind of envious because I look around at the younger generation. It's like effortless for them, and I'm like, you guys got it easy, you know.
To some degree, yeah, I would agree to that. They have other challenges that they deal with, but I think that I can really appreciate how our, I guess, mainstream media is normalizing it now, polyamory and swinging, and it's just, we have shows about it, there's movies about it, and it's more in the, I guess, in the public's eye than what it's ever been in the past.
Absolutely. That was in stereo right there. you guys did a duet for that one. Yeah, no, it is definitely in the public's eye a lot more. And it's really interesting how, I guess, there's a lot of, like, when I transitioned from swinging to polyamory, there's a lot of illusions that I had that were like shattered. Like, once you realize that you can just have like relationships with multiple people that aren't like, I don't know, ancient Roman sex festivals, like they're just like normal going to the grocery store, you know, taking care of each other, and you can do that with more than one person, like, to me it's just mind-blowing. Like, I guess even leading up to it, I always thought there was going to be, it was just like the media, some of the media, excuse me, kind of portrays it like it's very, you know, raunchy and sex-based only, and polyamory is definitely not that. And swinging, hey, it is, and that's okay. But I think that the normalizing of the lifestyles is, I think it's kind of doing a little bit to shatter that illusion, that kind of fantasy idea that I think a lot of people have, like, innately when it comes to, you know, what our lives are like. And you know, our lives are very much normal and very much like theirs. There are just some different elements, I think.
No, and you brought up a good point. So, and this kind of leads us into our next thing that I know is a huge assumption out there is sex. What is sex like in a swinger relationship compared to a polyamorous relationship? Because the huge assumption is, well, that gentleman is with two women. They have threesomes every single night. Or, right. You know, the opposite. Well, that's a woman and she has two men. They're drilling her every night. Oh my gosh. They must be having the best threesomes every single day, every single night. I can tell you that in my relationship, that couldn't be more not true. I mean, that is not how it went. You know, it was very normal. I guess I'll use their names. Megan and Melissa were their names. Melissa was more, you know, into women than she was men. And Megan was in the middle, and I'm straight, you know. So our dynamic sexually was very different at very different times. And there were some times where, you know, there would be days or weeks that Melissa and I wouldn't be sexual, or Megan and I were, you know, we were. And then they would be sexual as well. So the dynamic is extremely different. The sex is very different because it's more intimate. It's more, you know, it's making love compared to just, hey, we're going to go fuck and have a great time.
Right. It's really weird how we have those like leftover patriarchal ideas that permeate even like unbeknownst to us. I think that, you know, a lot of people, when they hear of like a throuple or a triad, they automatically jump to this image of this guy who's just like really selfish with like two women who are, you know, and it's like, it's, that's just not, I mean, always the case. I mean, my relationship, you know, case in point is, you know, there's two men, one woman, and it's not really like that. I mean, I share the experience that you're talking about. For me, it's much more about intimacy.
Right.
Than just kind of like wild sex. And, you know, we don't really even engage in, you know, any wild threesomes. Not to say that we haven't, but it's just not, it's, you know, it's definitely not on the menu or anything. So I think that's important to bring up because that kind of idea that's implanted in us through our cultural norms kind of shades the truth about what it's really like. And I think, like I said earlier, I think it's important that people understand that they have options. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a sex fest, but at the same time, hey, if you want to have a sex fest, have at it. And that choice is on the individual people to make. And I think that's where the kind of more revolutionary attitude comes in, is that it's kind of a radical statement that, look, I'm not going to control you. And that's why I think a lot of people do what we do, is because we want to enjoy a certain type of freedom that we otherwise would not be able to.
So there are a lot of myths. There's a lot of untruths out there about polyamory. What are some of the most crazy ones that you've heard? Because you said you're open, right? You're out. People know.
Yes. Yeah. So, for me, and in my work, I keep, you know, the other parties anonymous. Yes. So, but just myself. Yeah. Everybody knows kind of exactly how I spill it out on the page.
Yeah. What do they come up to you and say? Like, I mean, just what are some of the crazy things that they come up with?
There's two things. One, especially men get vehement. I think you'd be surprised at the hate mail I get for just, I mean, it could be like a totally positive article that I write about how wonderful it is to have a relationship with three people, you know, and the relationship dynamic is, you know, it's like two overlapping concentric circle, you know, heterosexual relationships. But I think that, you know, I get so much vehement hate mail. Usually men will say that she cornered one of us or both of us and made us do it, or there's manipulation, or, you know, people reach for the nefarious to explain the mundane. And it's clear that they have no idea what our lives are like. And it's new for a lot of different people. So that's one thing. One thing is like, oh, well, you pressured, you know, so-and-so into this. That's not really, you know, it was definitely an above board conversation. Another myth is, like I said, that it's just, you know, like Fox covered, it's all sex fests all the time. And that's just really you know, not how life works out. We do enjoy a fair share of sex. And I think that having, even in a polyamorous dynamic, and even without threesomes, I think there tends to be more sex and a little bit better sex because just people having options and having, you know, differences and change, it's a different dynamic that's kind of hard for me to put my finger on as, you know, as different experience. So there's great sex, but it's not, that's not the focal point of everything that we do.
So I like to use the menu or the restaurant, what's the word I'm looking for? Not insinuation.
I have no idea where you're going with this.
I do. So it's like the example of a restaurant, right? So you have your favorite restaurant, you have your favorite meal, you go there maybe once a week or once a month, and you enjoy it and you love it, and you're going to continue to, that pattern is not going to change. But if you do that every single day, eventually that meal is going to become tasteless to you. And it's going to be almost a task for you to want to show up to that restaurant, order the same meal, you know, same exact seat, same table, same waitress, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so that's why menus were created in the first place.
To give you variety.
Yeah, to give you a variety. Now do you understand where I'm going with this?
I got you now. Okay. It took me a minute, but yeah. I'm here.
It takes me a minute sometimes. I'm tracking. Okay. So, you know, and I know like in the swinging lifestyle, as I'm sure you're aware, there's a lot of myths of, well, everyone has an STD, which couldn't be more far from the truth, or we're a bunch of sexual deviants, or we're not with God, for those that are extremely religious, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's one of my least favorite right there.
Yeah. Well, for us, so we live in central Texas.
Bible Belt, wow. Baby.
Yeah, wow. We live in the Bible Belt. So luckily we have Austin, which mm-hmm. is very open and very different. And so that's where we play. You know, that is our go-to place of enjoyment and peace. You know, so I don't think it matters which lifestyle you choose. When society fears something or doesn't understand it or can't grasp it because their brain capacity is not where it needs to be, and that's the nice way of saying it.
They're closed-minded.
Yeah, they tend to fear, yeah. Right? And when people tend to have fear, they tend to become angry and lash out, and that's where a lot of this comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, yeah, and I think that, you know, there's an additional layer to the puzzle here is that I think it challenges a lot of masculinity as well, and you know, there's 'cause just judging by my hate mail, I mean, it's almost invariably angry men.
Mm-hmm.
Who are, you know, sometimes there's even threats of violence. I'm not complaining here, but the point is that just simply seeing somebody exist outside of the boundaries of normal, what they consider to be normal, excuse me, can set people off and make people, you know, very upset and very angry. And so I think there's a component, not just about necessarily challenging sexual norms, but I think it plays a role into identity. And I think that, you know, there's just weird domination complex. And I think that monogamy and that domination complex kind of tends to go hand in hand. And then, you know, non-monogamy is definitely a rejection of that whole thing. I think a lot of the myths are born out of that kind of notion that you can't have a relationship that's not based on power. And right. That's just not true. And I think that a lot of that comes to us through our media, through marketing. You know, not all media, but some media.
A lot of media, you know, I agree.
Yes, wants to convince us that relationships are a very ego-driven thing, what you can get out of them. It's a trade-off. It's transactional. And I just don't believe any of that. That's bullshit. There is definitely ways, and as I'm sure you guys know, to facilitate love and still have additional partners, or, you know, to facilitate love with multiple people in our case at the same time. And it's very possible. And I think when people come up against that idea, that's, it's terrifying to them. You know, imagine it's like you can only speak the language of power. Now here are these other people who are doing love well and happy. Like, I can only imagine what people must think when that happens. So,
right.
Sorry, taking a little slightly political direction here, but I think it ties in with the whole situation.
Sure. No, absolutely. I know that since Stephanie and I have met and started dating, I can say this. The majority of people that we have met together are very open to our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I fear that a large majority of Stephanie's side, probably family and some old time friends, would not be as open.
Family, my friends would.
Right. So friends, but not family, for that exact reason, you know, upbringing, beliefs, etc. You know, so we've been very lucky.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, if I may really quick here.
I think that's important because I think there are, you know, I hate to do it, a two-sided thing, but I think there are myths on both sides. And I think that one of the myths that people who are swingers or polyamorous tend to perpetuate a lot, and I've encountered this, is this notion that, you know, you should be guilted if there are people in your life that you don't want to let know about how you love and your love life is like. And that's just not true. I mean, you know, some of us are business owners. Some of us have, you know, public careers. Some of us have privacy concerns, and that's perfectly okay. Not everybody needs to know. The only people who truly need to know are the people who are involved. So I think another myth that kind of, that interestingly springs up, not from outside, but from, you know, within the non-monogamy circles, is this myth that everybody absolutely has to know. And I think it's important that people understand that, hey, you know, for me, in my situation, it's a need to know basis. And, you know, if somebody needs to know, cool, you know, they get to find out. But I think that there's a lot of people in your life who will be judgmental. And I think it's just not very wise to be indiscriminate and, like, you know, go around and tell absolutely everybody, your boss, your, you know, barista at Starbucks, or, you know, I mean, and people tend to do that. And then I've seen that end pretty badly, I think, that, and that's their prerogative if they want to. But I think that it's important that other people know that being discreet is also okay.
Absolutely. My theory on this whole, on the whole, I got to tell people, is because it's kind of like that new relationship energy that you feel, but it's just empowering, and you're able, you're like, man, I found this whole new world and everybody needs to know about it because everybody's going to love it and everybody should do this. And so that excitement in the beginning might get some people in some trouble if they're not careful and being more, I don't want to say protective, but more cautious of who they tell.
Just be smart.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't be smart. You're excited.
Only you know, I guess, who you should and should not tell. I mean, let's be honest. Majority of us do. If you're in a position where you can do that, well, then go for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in that position, you need to determine, is it worth the risk? If it is for you, then do it. Then absolutely do it. If it is not and it will reward you negatively, well, then you may want to sit down and give yourself some consideration on whether or not this is the time to do so. Right.
If
so,
the risk is worth the reward.
Yeah. Risk versus reward. So let's rewind back just a little bit too and get back on to the differences between open relationship or swinger or whatever you want to call it, you know, consensual non-monogamy, I would say is probably the overall classified term. And then there's a bunch of different brackets under that, being in a polyamorous relationship, which by definition is the same, however, is not, right? So I like to explain it like this to a lot of people. If you're going to be in a swinger relationship, you are in a single relationship with a lot of friends that you are sexual with. You're going to, you know, formulate friendships and bonds, etc. This will happen. But overall, they're there as your sexual toy temporarily. Not all the time. You know, I've made some lifelong friends in the swinging lifestyle. I really have.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, once our relationship reaches a certain level, sometimes we stop things for that exact reason. So, and then you have, you know, polyamory where it's a lot different. You are friends, you're lovers, you're partners, you are caretakers, guardians. I mean, you are seriously deciding to take a whole nother step in a type of relationship that you have with this person or persons, whatever persons means to you. So just consider that. If you are listening to this podcast, or if this is currently on SLS Radio and you're listening to the radio show, which is for you? Do you want friends that you're sexual with and you're open and you guys use each other on a sexual basis and you still have a friendship? Or possibly, because there are swingers out there who don't want to formulate friendships. They are a one-time wham-bam, thank you ma'am, maybe I'll see you next year. This is a pure sexual experience with no attachment whatsoever. And that's okay if you're into that. If that's what you're looking for, then probably an open relationship or a swinging relationship is for you. However, if you are on the other side of this and you actually want to formulate a very strong bond, a loving relationship, possibly live together, be responsible for those individuals on multiple levels, not just physically, but also emotionally and possibly financially, then maybe polyamory is for you. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I'll back up on my story a little bit here because it's a little funny. Back when I was monogamous, I used to be like, man, in my own head, I'd tell myself, like, I could never be a swinger. You know, it just terrified me. It seemed like it was too risky. Like, you know, oh my goodness. And I think that's another thing that we kind of misinterpret, another myth that people tend to just believe. Like, what happens if somebody, you know, if your partner falls in love with somebody else? I mean, it's just, it's rare. It happens, but it's rare. And, you know, once I took that step into swinging, it was just like, oh, this is easy. This is great. Like, why haven't I been doing this all along? And then the last bastion sort of became polyamory, not to make it sound like it was a notch on my belt, but like, you know, it was like, man, I can see having sex with somebody once a month or having sex with some close friends or something like that. But when it comes to like love, like, you know, you're going to like allow your partner to love somebody else. And it's like, then I did it. And now looking back, like the fact that I would use that word when I would talk to myself, allow, is like, wow, that was not really right. I mean, I couldn't formulate what I was afraid of without admitting to a sense of possessiveness. And so I think there's a distinction there that's also important, where in a sense, you know, you guys want to have your baby, so to speak, your relationship that's off limits and it's private to you guys. And then you don't want to sacrifice not being able to have sex with other people. And that's awesome. And I think that's kind of a difference of how it's played out too. Like you said earlier, polyamory is much more of like a kind of a family atmosphere, which I just personally prefer. But yeah, both of them are definitely great lifestyles.
No, absolutely. I mean, in my opinion, even if you initially aren't open and your communication is horrible and you still have jealousy, regardless of what you choose, both of these lives and these lifestyles they almost force you, but maybe force isn't the right word. They bring you to a different enlightened level of what relationships possibly can or can't look like, what communication should or should not be. What does it look like when people are 100% honest and there are zero filters in place? Are you going to hurt each other's feelings? Oh, yeah. You are absolutely going to hurt each other's feelings. But is it going to make you stronger? Absolutely, in my opinion. 100% if you stick with it. You will have a relationship that you don't fear. And I think a lot of people fear their relationships rather than they wake up, whether there was an argument or not, and they're still smiling because they know at the end of the day, no matter what takes place, you have such a strong bond with either this individual or these individuals that I personally probably can never go back to a monogamous relationship. At least a
true. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind I could never do it again. I just couldn't. And the honesty.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sorry to cut you off here. But no. I mean, that's absolutely, for me, the biggest thing. The ability to just, this is who I am. This is what I'm feeling. And this is how it's going.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, and I guess I should clarify a traditional monogamous, because a lot of people have different definitions now also of what monogamy is, or some people, you know, was it solo poly or
monogamish,
or, you know, there's a lot of different terms now out there as people dive into different alternatives for relationships. And I'm sure that in a couple of years, we're going to have more terms and there's going to be a different plateau here or a different level of relationship that maybe we didn't even think about currently. I think it's just very important to understand that it's not all about sex, not even the swinging lifestyle, okay? So I know for Stephanie and I, when I brought this to her attention, because I was the one that brought this type of lifestyle to her attention. And I guess it was kind of twofold. We were talking honestly, and she had admitted, you know, having some threesomes and doing some stuff with some other people. And that kind of gave me the immediate opening to say, hey, what do you think about this? You know, all bullshit aside, this is how I feel about monogamy. This is how I feel about my sexuality. Would you try this with me? You know, and it gave me my open door. A lot of people, and I've said this earlier, and I keep saying, hey, swinging's about sex. Yeah, it's about sex. But within your relationship as a swinger, your bond, because you are physically sharing your partner, if you do it the right way, you will find a relationship that you have never found, probably in your lifetime.
I can second that. Yeah. One of my, because you are of just churning out all of these articles, Joe.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to the Wayback Machine, though. My favorite article of yours that I've read so far is A Day in the Life of a Guy in a Polyamorous Relationship. And it just, you just detail what you guys do in the day. It's nothing, there's no raunchiness to it. It's just, hey, we're just silly. It's just us. And I love how honest you were in that article. And if our listeners want to look it up, you can find it on Medium. And he just really gives you a glimpse into what it's like having coffee with them, how it works for them. And I just love your honesty in that article.
Thank you. Yeah. I felt like it was important that people kind of understand what it's like from the inside. You know, hopefully I'll do another like kind of descriptive piece like that again soon. But I think that it's, again, that was trying to shatter those illusions that people have, that I myself had back in the day when, you know, before I embarked on this journey. Those illusions that just kind of seemed to effortlessly come out of nowhere, like, you know, that it was sex all the time, et cetera, et cetera. And something as simple as like waking up in the morning and, you know, three people have coffee and they enjoy each other's company. And, you know, there's just the profound atmosphere of, you know, care and security. And those are the more wonderful aspects that people who haven't done this don't think about. And, you know, when it comes to care and security, to address, you know, what Fox was saying, you know, like I said, a lot of people who think swinging, they think it's just this like robotic, emotionless sex. And it's not at all. You can have very deep, very profound attraction to people while you're swinging, and you just won't cross the threshold into falling in love and building a relationship based on that. But I think that, you know, in swinging, you can actually, you know, have that sense of security and closeness, but you also have your autonomy and your private relationship as well. So that's kind of, you know, one of the differences, but I just kind of wanted to hit that on the head and say that it really irks me, because it's a thing that some polyamorists, some very few, are like, you know, oh, those pesky swingers out there having robotic sex. And it's just like, no, that's not at all what it was like, you know, for me or for any, you know, I mean, it's just that's a caricature of what swinging actually is. But yeah, it's good times. And there's, I mean, the atmosphere at events is full of love. And then, you know, everything all the way through is full of love, but a different kind of love, a love of enjoyment rather than, you know, falling in love and kind of the more traditional romantic love. But yeah, I wanted to communicate with that piece what it's like from the inside to kind of get rid of some of those illusions that people have about what all of our lives are like, you know?
Yeah, so I couldn't help but think, and I had an image in my head when you said robotic sex.
Oh, yeah.
Of two robots, one bending one over and just thrusting in the same pattern at the same speed.
Over and over.
Over and over with just a blank face.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But you're absolutely right. It's not robotic sex. And you do form relationships with people. You know, yeah. We have friends that...
Some of our very good friends are people we've met through swinging.
Yeah, and we don't have sex with them every single time we hang out.
No.
That is actually another
myth.
Right? Another myth is, oh, every time they hang out, they have sex. No,
we
absolutely
don't.
Not.
Right, right.
Matter of fact, some of our good friends, we probably have less sex with them than we do the ones we're not as close with, because we're such good friends. We just fall into a pattern of hanging out as friends. And sometimes one of us has to remind us all, like, hey, we're still attracted to each other, right? Oh yes, we are. That's right. You know.
Right. Well, yeah, and really quick, if I may, like another point that you touched on that I'd just like to comment on really quick is there is it, when you engage in the non-monogamous lifestyle, you are basically you said you know it forces you to kind of grow and become a better person, but I kind of look at it as you're forcing yourself to grow and be better, challenging yourself to overcome those weird cultural quirks we have. And I think that you are absolutely right that when you are with your partner and open and they're and you're having sex with other people or you're in a relationship with multiple people, it makes them attractive. I think it's the freedom and the honesty, but it makes the bond so much stronger and them so much more attractive. Like I've had threesomes with two people where I didn't really care for either of them. It was just casual sex. And it was totally a different experience from doing it with a partner that you're actually with and you actually love and care about. It's, that's a mind-blowing experience as well.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I agree. Well, I want to personally thank you for coming on and just kind of helping us broach this topic and explain it a little bit more. I'm just happy to admit I'm a fangirl, and so
watch out.
Just totally read all your stuff. So,
did you just admit you were a stalker?
I do stalk him. Well, yeah.
Thank you.
I snuck into his DMs, baby.
You snuck into his DM, boy.
I did. I snuck into his DMs. Don't think I didn't.
Well, thank you guys for inviting me on. Seriously, I definitely enjoyed the chat. It was eye-opening, and I might actually take some of these ideas and formulate them into a new article, and then I will definitely name-drop you guys if I do.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Well, again, thank you, and we hope to be talking to you soon.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
So, as we're wrapping things up, I want to kind of repeat myself, because I think it's extremely important for anyone listening. Whether you're monogamous and you're thinking about non-monogamy or polyamory, swinging, open relationship, whatever you want to call it, something other than what you're doing now, or if you are polyamorous and you're thinking about, hey, I'm going to change it up a little bit and I'm going to get into swinging, or if you're into swinging and you're doing the opposite of that and thinking, hey, I'm kind of tired of doing this and I want to formulate a deeper bond and relationship with people, and you're thinking of polyamory. Communication, openness, honesty, accepting things that you have no control over, including your own feelings, because a lot of people will battle their feelings, and I think that is a detriment, if I can talk today, to ourselves and what we really, really want, okay? Nothing ever goes perfect. I'm going to tell you that right now. I actually had an email today that I read from a gentleman who wrote into us, and he recognized me from Playboy, and half of his email was like a kudos to you. I watched your show. So awesome what you got to do, et cetera, et cetera. And I sat there thinking, man, if you really knew the ins and outs of swinging and the truth, because this gentleman was honest that he was not in the swinging lifestyle or any type of open relationship. And he wanted to know how I can help him talk his wife into becoming a swinger.
Help me talk my spouse into it.
Yeah. I have not answered this gentleman because honestly, my response needs to be very calculated, because I'm going to have to let him down and let him know that unless your wife is also interested, I'm not going to help you do anything. But I also want to bring up some really key points to him and say, have you thought of the following? And I think that I'm going to take some of today's show and I'm going to put it into that answer.
I think that's a great idea.
Because it actually reminded me, as we're sitting here talking to Joe, this life, as awesome as it is, it's not always perfect. Sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's good. It's bad. It's up. It's down. Right. It's all over the darn place.
And every experience brings up different emotions.
Absolutely. But I think the most important part, so as you and Joe were talking, I was sitting here thinking, why am I not a jealous person? What has happened in my life where jealousy, for the most part, eludes me? And I don't think that jealousy eludes me. I think that I just accept it. I accept that I can I can have jealousy. And then when it does happen, I look at it and I go, well, what are you really jealous of? And then I acknowledge what I'm jealous of. And then I run it up against kind of a common sense meter. And I go, does this have any relevancy to your relationship? Because if it doesn't, and there's no honest threat there, then okay, then you're jealous. Get over it. And it's not even get over it. It's accept it. Okay, I'm jealous. Got it. Moving on. And I don't know why that came up as we were talking, but it did. That kind of entered my brain. And maybe because of talks we've had recently and some stuff going on with us recently, where lately, right, to be completely open with our listeners.
Transparent,
right? I have felt like I haven't been doing my due diligence when it comes to Stephanie with a certain aspect. Now, I'm going to leave that aspect private because it is between us, but you know, I have felt, I guess, a little lesser than, and I've been trying to figure out why or what's going on or what have you, right? And I think Joe may, I'm not going to say he unlocked something in me, but he brought something up that is going to make me look into that. And it was when we were talking about a menu. When you've been with somebody, does that eventually become standard? And once something becomes standard, then do you stop seeking it because now it's just standard, right? Does that make sense? Not that it doesn't, what am I trying to say? Not that it's not still appetizing, but does your brain somehow, some way go, hey, that's awesome, but... Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, so I don't know why I wanted to share that, but I felt that I wanted to share that, so I did. Yeah. And like we said, we try and keep this as raw as possible.
Yeah, we do.
So there it is. Anyway, that was my train of thought. Didn't really go past that.
Okay, well, yeah. Maybe we can further have further communication conversations.
Oh, yeah, we definitely will.
Tonight, and yeah. See if we can unlock some more stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. But so... I guess where I was trying to get at with that for everyone listening is you're going to go through some stuff in enlightening your relationship, in discovering what it's going to be, whether it's poly, swinging, open, etc. If you are ready to accept that, then you are doing this for the right reason. If you are one of those individuals or more than one individual or a couple or what have you that is looking to venture down this road, then you're on the right path. If you're not ready for that, well, then I think you need to do some more soul searching. And it's probably a good idea that you hit the pause button and you look deeper into, you know, how do you get there? Or how do you get to that level?
I would agree to that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And why you want to go there.
Yes. And why? That is a big question. So one of the biggest things with Stephanie, when I first met her, I was very honest in my sexuality and that I do not believe anymore in monogamy. Because I think it's a lie that we tell ourselves. And Joe said it perfectly. You know, to assume you're going to be attracted to the same person for the rest of your life, I'm sorry, but I just don't agree with that. Can you be attracted to the same person? Yes. Are they going to be the only person you're attracted to? I am going to say no.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah. There's plenty of people that Stephanie and I see every day that I'm like, wow, they look yummy. Or, hey, they're pretty awesome. I like their aura or their attitude or et cetera, et cetera. And another thing he said that I really liked is you have to choose what you do with that. And you make the decision not to cross a certain threshold when you're in a relationship with somebody else.
Yep.
Right? Some people may look at that as a negative where they maybe go, oh, so you want to do something. Well, that's bad. No, I want to do something with a lot of people a lot. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And Stephanie knows that. It's what I decide to do with that, though. You can't stop someone from thinking or feeling, and you honestly can't stop yourself from thinking or feeling. When people say, oh, I'm just going to hide that. But honestly, are you really hiding it? You're not hiding it. You know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
It's what you choose to do about it or with it. That's the important part. You know, how mature are you, and are you going to behave in a way that's going to hurt people or not hurt people? Because that's what a lot of a relationship has to do with.
You got really deep tonight.
I did. It just unlocked something to me.
I'm glad it did.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of being deep. I'm going to go have a drink.
Yeah, I think we shall. All right, Kinky Nation. Tune in next week. Who knows what we're going to be talking about?
Well, we do.
We
do know what we're going to talk about.
We do know, but I'm talking about just our sidebars and our...
Oh, yeah. The upcoming show is going to be about dating, clubs, house parties, cruises, and resorts.
Yep.
What do you need to know about them?
Yes.
Or what should you know? Or what questions should you ask?
Which is better than the other?
Yeah.
Is one better than the other? We're just going to do some exploration.
Yep. All right. Have a good night, guys.
Good night. Hey, Fox.
Not again.
Why don't you tell them where they can find us?
Oh. So you can find us on the Bookface.
Facebook.
Yeah, that thing. At the Kinky Coach. Or you can find us at any of the adult beverage websites. You like that?
I do, yeah.
Yes, because you're tasty. You're thirsty. Yeah.
Yes, thirsty.
So you can look for either Luna_and_Logan, or you can look for the Kinky Coach and her Silver Fox.
Yep. Yeah. So thank you for listening, and we hope you have a very sexy evening.
Have a good night.
You are listening to the Kinky Coach Podcast with Stephanie
and Fox.